Chapter 15, John chapter 15, if you'll hold your finger there, we want to read a verse there, and then we do want to go over to the book of Romans chapter number 5, John 15 and Romans chapter number 5. We'll read some scripture there. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, Pastor, for being here, and I thank the church. And let me say to Fellowship Baptist Church, your pastor is a man of God. He has been called by God. It is God who spoke to him about this measure of preaching, missionary work, pastoring. He's a man of integrity. I'll tell you, Brother Chris has a good reputation. His character is good. He's a man, as you very well know as a church, concerned about others. Concerned about others. And I appreciate him for that. Now, God has appointed Brother Chris to be the under-shepherd of this flock here in East Ridge, here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Now, so church, let me encourage you, number one, take care of him. Take care of him. Don't let him go without a need. Let him know you're behind him. It'll encourage him more. He might not be as rough on you if you'll do some of that. Who knows? Pray for him. He ought to be on your prayer list. Pray the power of God upon his life as he preaches. Support him and love him. Now, when's the last time you just told Brother Chris, Ms. Lisa, I love you? You ought to be telling them that to encourage them in the work that God's called him to do here. Now, every once in a while, surprising. Surprising. Everybody wear red, and when he comes to church, he's not wearing red, then you can say, you didn't get the memo, did you? We just wanted to surprise you and pull a trick on him, but make it in a good Christian way and do something to keep him hopping and thinking about what are you going to do, amen, around here. He is a gift from God to the church according to Ephesians 4 and 11. So treat him as so. Treat him as a gift from God. Now when you do that, God will bless this church beyond what you can imagine. Now I've seen it happen in my life. I know it's real. God loves a church that loves their pastor. And he didn't ask me to say any of those things, but I felt led of God to say those things. Now, stand with me in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 13, we have these words, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And then over in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take the feeble words I'll say here today and use them, magnify them, multiply them in the hearts and the lives of those that are assembled here this morning at Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord, most of all, may someone who's never been saved, may they hear the word of God and be convinced there is a road, a remedy for their predicament this hour. Save the lost, O God. Now, Brother Chris, our pastor, gave some very crucial sick lists. And Lord, you are able to heal those. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must first show himself, or must show himself friendly. Dale Carnegie said, do you want to make friends? Be friendly and forget yourself. The hand clasped in friendship cannot throw mud.
Yeah, man. That's good, brother.
And that was written by Anonymous. He's written a lot of stuff I've read. He's a good author. Robert Louis Stevenson, a great author in the past history of our nation, said, "A friend is a present you give to yourself." In Persia, many years ago, the Shah Abbas had a custom when he came to the throne of disguising himself, going out in very ragged clothes and disfiguring his face. And he would go out among his subjects and just talk with them. He appeared to them as a man who had nothing. And some would talk to him and some would ignore him, thinking, "Oh, it's another beggar on the streets." The older man who cut the wood for the public baths, he came into his locale, and that man started talking to him and smiling to him, not realizing who he was. And as he sat and talked with this old man, as he cut wood, and the old man talked about his family, his children, his dreams, the Shah asked him, "Have you ever met the Shah?" And the old man said, "Why, no, he wouldn't come down to where I am. I'm just a common woodsman that cuts the woods." One day, after visiting with the man on several occasions, one day the Shah revealed himself to the man. He purposefully had underneath his rags his royal robe. And he took off his rags and he took a rag and wiped the soot and dirt off his face and put on his little turban. And the old man looked at him and said, You're the Shah of Persia." He said, "Yes, I am." And the Shah said, "Would you like a gift? Would you like some money? Would you like something to make your life a little easier?" The old man lowered his head and said, "No, sir, I wouldn't want any of those things. Whatever you do, please never take your friendship away from me."
Amen, brother.
And he prized that friendship over the riches of this world. You know, a friend will see you through when others see that you are through.
Amen, brother.
A friend walks in when everyone else walks out.
That's right. Amen.
Robert G. Lee pastored a great church there in Memphis. And he had the Ten Commandments of human relations or friendship. And here they are. Number one, speak to people. There's nothing as nice as a cheerful word of greeting to them. Number two, smile at people. It takes 72 muscles, he said, to frown and only 14 to smile. Number three, call people by their name. The sweetest music to anyone's ear is the sound, amen, of their own name. Be friendly and helpful, number four. If you would have friends, be friendly. Number five, be cordial. Speak and act as if everything you do is a genuine pleasure. Number six, be genuinely interested in people. You can like almost everybody if you will try. And I found that to be true. Number seven, be generous with praise, cautious with criticism. Number eight, be considerate with the feelings of others. There are usually three sides to any controversy: yours, theirs, and the right one. Usually both of you are wrong. Number nine, be alert to give service. What counts most in life is what we do for others. Number 10, Add to this a good sense of humor, a big dose of patience, and a dash of humility, and you will be rewarded many-fold. But you know, advice from men is good, but the best advice comes from the Word of God. So we could hear wise men in this world talk about how to be friends and what to do, but Jesus said to the disciples here in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now I want to speak this morning briefly to you on the unknown friend. The unknown friend. First, the unknown friend to the saved person. You know, many people get saved and they still don't know who Jesus is. They recognize Him, Pastor, as the Savior, the Lamb of God, who died on a cross for our sins. But they don't recognize Him as someone that you can, number one, communicate with and have a relationship with Him. We have seven grandchildren. I said God gave us one for every day of the week so that we could pray for them. And two of the little ones are here, and they have their day that I pray for them. And one of our little grand boys, you know, it's amazing. As they get older, they're not as affectionate as they are when they're little. You know, that's you know, silly stuff. And I make them tell me I love you, Grandy. That's my nickname for me. And but one little boy. His name is Beckham. If I'm downstairs and coming up the steps from the garage, and I whistle, I've got a whistle I give them, then they know it's me. He will run to the little gate, and when he sees me, brother, he'll jump up and down. And he's so happy to see me. And you know what I tell him? "You're going to get something for Christmas now, buddy. You're going to get something for Christmas from Grandy. I guarantee you. You act like that." And then I ran across Psalms 27, verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the present Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of your heart." And we as Christians don't realize we can have a personal relationship with Christ, that we delight ourselves in His presence about who He is, and He will bless us. It is a promise in the Word of God. We need to communicate with Christ as a friend. We need to go to Him in the good time. We need to go to Him in the bad time. We need to be a friend to Jesus. Talk to Him. Now, He'll talk to you if you'll read your Bible.
Good, brother.
One Sunday morning there at Lupton Drive, I had a Bible like this, and it was out on a stand, and I had it closed. And when it was time for me to preach, I stood on the platform and wringed my hands, and I said, "Oh, I can't hear from God. Oh, where God's at? I don't know what I'm going to do. Where is God? Search for Him." And then I pointed their attention to the Bible. And I said, "Oh, now I see the problem. My Bible is closed."
Good.
And I went over and opened my Bible up. And when I started reading, my whole countenance changed. I got happy. Now, I know what to do. Oh, the Word of God. One reason we don't hear from God is, Christian, we don't read the Word of God. We ought to read, we should read the Word of God, amen, to feed ourselves in the Word of God and let Him talk to us. Someone said, "God don't ever talk to me." That's because you're not reading your Bible. I guarantee you. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," is found at the end of every church age in the book of Revelation 2 and 3. And so we ought to talk with the Lord. And then we ought to have the compassion of the Lord in our lives. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, very familiar scripture to you, I'm sure. The Word of God says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Scripture's inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell us we can, to our friend in heaven, go to Him and cast our needs upon Him because He cares for us.
Amen, brother. Amen.
We had an older preacher, and I love preachers. We had an older preacher in our church, and he would testify, and he had preached this sometimes. He said, Now, church, God answers prayer in four ways. Sometimes He'll say yes. Sometimes He'll say no. Sometimes He'll say, wait a minute. And then sometimes He'll say, you got to be kidding. Well, I prayed some of those "you got to be kidding" prayers. I was glad God didn't answer some of those prayers. But we ought to talk to the Lord and cast on Him our cares. He is a friend to us. That's what He said in John 15:13. Our text: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Christ died on the cross, as I read in 5 and 8, but God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Now, what friend do you have? We have a friend in God, and we ought to treat Him like a friend. Have Him as a friend. Be with Him like a friend. I enjoyed the ladies of the church song. That song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," written by Joseph Scriven, born in 1819, went to be with the Lord on 1886. He was born in Dublin, Ireland, went to Trinity College, had a great Christian education. The day before he was to be married, his fiancée drowned. The wedding was planned. Everything was in place. And his fiancée drowned. Instead of a wedding, there then was a funeral. And then it wasn't long after that his mother died. And Joseph Scriven, instead of becoming ill towards God, he talked to his dad. He had his inheritance already since he had been planned to be married. He gave away his inheritance. Started giving it to the poor people in Dublin, Ireland. He passed out things. He had enough money to get passage and went to Canada. And in Canada, he joined the Plymouth Brethren. He became real eccentric, they would call him. He isolated himself. He lived the Sermon on the Mound. He tried to live every word as it was given there. It was said that Ira Sankey, who led great meetings and song services for D.L. Moody, saw him on the street one day, and he was cutting and selling wood. Actually, he wasn't selling it. Ira Sankey saw the man was walking with a friend. He introduced to Joseph Scriven and said, I want to hire that man to cut wood for me. Look how good he does it. And the friend said, you can't hire him. He's not for sale. He goes into the forest. He cuts down trees. He cuts it in small portions and gives it to widows and those that are in need in Ontario. Beside his bed was this poem that we know so well. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Here's a man who knew sorrow, heartache, troubles in this life, and decided this world is not worth me. I'm not worthy of it, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11. And he gave everything in to help the poor. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We ought to have a friend in Jesus that we can take our needs to. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And Joseph Scriven knew he had a friend in Jesus. And a man named Charles Converse saw that poem on his bedside table and said, Joseph, could I put some music to this poem? And so you'll see at the in your songbook, you'll see the heading that Joseph Scriven wrote the poem, and it was Charles Converse who put the tune to those words. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now listen to me, church. Don't let Christ be an unknown friend to you. Jesus ought to be a close friend to you. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his son. Oh, we ought to get close to the Lord as believers. And then to the unknown friend, to the unsaved person. Number one, you need everlasting salvation. You need to be saved. And an unknown friend of yours has paid the price for your salvation. Who is it? Who is this unknown friend? Well, it's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not Confucius. I'm going to tell you, it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was born of a virgin, had pure godly blood in his vein. When he died on the cross, he was offered, Isaiah 53 says, verse 10, 11, and 12, talks about him being an offering for sin. He offered himself, amen. And the Bible says in John 15, 13, amen, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Even in your bulletin today, in your bulletin, amen, here it tells you clearly the ABCs of salvation. Here's how you get saved. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit it to God. Admit it to yourself. Number two, B, believe in Jesus. C, choose to allow Jesus to save you. Call upon him. Getting saved is as simple as A, B, and C, because someone, the unknown friend of yours, has died on a cross and paid the price for your sin and my sin. You not only need everlasting salvation, you need eternal security. Yeah. You need eternal security. I'm going to tell you, I have friends who believe you can lose your salvation. And I shocked some pastors one time. They asked me the question. They didn't qualify it totally, Brother Chris. They said, after you got saved, could you get lost? I knew what they were trying to say. And I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but after I got saved, I did get lost. They looked at me, and I hope they wasn't going to walk out before I'd explain. They looked at me with eyes wide open. I said, yeah, I got lost in Jesus.
Amen.
I cannot find my way out of Jesus. Yeah. Not that I'd want to. I have eternal security that I know I'll go to heaven when I die and not go to hell.
Good.
Oh, I got saved because I feared hell. Our dad, my sister Connie's here, our dad was a fire and brimstone preacher. John Bell was his name. Here in, he pastored churches in South Tennessee and North Georgia. But I'm glad, thank God, one night at an altar of prayer, I made my election and calling sure. I admitted I was a sinner. I believed on Jesus. I came down to an altar of prayer and I called upon Him, save me. And He did just that. For the promise is in the Word of God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so to the unknown person, to the unsaved person, you have an unknown friend who died on a cross in your place, Jesus. State of Wyoming, two ranchers, I'll name them Fielding and Clovis. Fielding and Clovis had large cattle ranch, had large spreads. They had partial barbed wire fence, but they especially had one to separate their cattle from each other, and the fence ran along a ridge, and Fielding had his spread on one side of the ridge, and Clovis had his on the other side of the ridge. And things went good for Fielding. The rain came, the grass grew, the cattle multiplied. But things didn't go too good on Clovis's side. Diseased cattle were introduced into his herd and almost killed all the cattle in his herd. The rain came only in spots and the grass got drier. Things didn't look good for Clovis, but every Tuesday they met at one of the corner posts, and there they talked for a while, and then they rode the fence line. As any rancher or farmer would know, you have a large spread, you've got to do that. And it became a ritual of doing that every Tuesday. They would meet, and Clovis would ask Fielding about, how's your wife, how's the kids, how's things going? And it was always a good report from Fielding. But Clovis, when asked how things was going, his report was not as good. He looked at Fielding and said one Tuesday, I really don't know what I'm going to have to do. I may have to go to the bank and borrow some money and see if I can get through this hard time, because I know how things are. Hard times come and hard times go. If I can just weather through this hard time. And so they then rode their horses on the ridge, on the fence line, and got off in a place or two and tightened up the barbed wire fence. And when they got to the other end after a day of travel, then they said goodbye and went their way. One Tuesday, Fielding came to the corner and Clovis was not there. He waited and thought, you know, I'm just going to wait here. And if he doesn't come, I'm not going to go to the fence line. I'm going to wait here all day long. See if he comes. And if he doesn't come by sundown, then I'm going home. And we're going to hitch up the buggy and wagon. And I'm going to go over to his place and check. Unknown to Fielding, Clovis had got a notice from the bank. That the foreclosure was. 2 days before the foreclosure, Clovis went to the bank. And he sat down with the banker and explained to him, no, I've invested that money. As soon as the grass grows, as soon as the rains come, that flock, that herd of cattle is going to multiply, and I'll easily have enough calves birth in the spring that I'll have money to pay you back. And the banker, after listening to his proposal for about an hour, Clovis asking, will you give me just an extension? And the banker said, no. And Clovis put his hands down and put his head down in his hands and started weeping, tears flowing through his fingers. Started to rise up and leave. And the banker said to Clovis, sit down. He said, Clovis, you talk so much. You wouldn't let me tell you something. A friend of yours came in yesterday and paid off the note. And Jesus went to Calvary.
Yeah.
Before my deadline.
Yeah. How are
you, buddy? He died on the cross that I could be saved. Why should I not be a friend to him? Why should I love him? And sinner, you're here today, young people, older people. Doesn't matter what your age is. If you never can point to a time where you ask God to save you, you're in the right place this morning. You've come to the right place. Someone's been a friend to you, invited you. And if you're not saved, when Brother Chris gives the invitation, then you need to step down to this altar. And there'll be workers. There'll be people come with their Bible. And they'll show you the Word of God and pray with you, and you can meet this friend who has already paid for your sins. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, bless the feeble words I've said.